listener production.
Please leave your message after the tone.
Why am I jealous of my ex?
I am so stressed all the time.
How do I get into a routine?
Is TikTok making me anxious?
I think I'm being manipulated.
Someone told me you could live with half a brain.
This is Do You Fucking Mind? Mindset Hacks for a Badass Life. Hosted by me, Alexis Fernandez.
Hello, my beautiful beans, and welcome to a Head Noise episode. So this, firstly, can I just say to everyone who's writing in for these Head Noise episodes, I am obsessed with the creativity that you guys are starting to put in the titles of these questions. Like, they're so good that I'm going to start to use your titles for the questions as the episode title. Like, that's how good they are. It's like you just want to read these questions. They're so good. So big shout out to my beans creativity. You guys are a very creative bunch, can I just say? Every time I ask you questions, or like, it's just, you guys make things funny even if they're probably not intentionally meant to be funny. So we're here for it. Last Head Noise episode, I read out all your answers for a poll or a question box that I'd put up on Instagram. I put these up on my personal page and also on the DYFM podcast Instagram page as well, so no one misses it. And the question was, what is the biggest lie an ex got you to believe? And there were some fucking crazy ones. And there were so many, which is kind of alarming at how many crazy cunts there are out there. But there were so many, and that I had to do a part two. So this is the part two. I thought I'm just going to read through them so you can settle in with a nice hot chocolate or tea or whatever and just, you know, listen to them. So either A, you can laugh. B, you can feel like you're not that crazy because if something similar happened to you, you're not alone in this wild world. Or C, you can, I don't know, just get ideas for how you can become a crazy cunt to somebody else. Hopefully not. Hopefully it's not option C. Okay, let's get straight into it. I'm going through some more answers that you guys gave me for what is the craziest thing an ex got you to believe. Okay. Here we go. That I slept with his younger brother. What do you mean? So your ex got you to believe that you shagged his brother? That's wild. That he didn't plan on cheating. It was an accident, and that he would never do it again. Good times. Convinced me to believe that I was bipolar because I didn't agree with his behavior. That's like gaslighting 101, I feel. That he was Italian. So here's this person rolling around just pretending to be Italian when in reality, not the case. Oh, this is a really, really good one. And like good as in juicy, but fucked. My ex-husband tried to make me believe that his dick pic he shared with another chick wasn't his dick, although his clear thigh tattoos were there, but he said they were photoshopped. We are sharing this planet with crazy, like cooked units that say this kind of shit. And they're walking amongst us. We're dealing with them on a daily basis. And if you are one of them, I'll interview you on the podcast. That would be juicy. Okay, this is another great one. It's like, I feel like this one's even more dramatic than last week's. That STIs can be caught from the air around someone who has had one. Who has had one? Okay. That the reason he had a girl's nudes on his phone is because it glitched. Glitched into what? Like, gave me medication for chlamydia and told me it was for thrush. Lol. Yeah, lol, for sure. That his friends put meth in his drink at lunch, and that is why he was charged with drug driving. Can you imagine firstly, let's say that's true. Highly doubt it. Imagine your friends spiking your drink with meth, no less. Meth. That's like taking drink spiking to a whole nother stratosphere. Imagine. Anyway, I'm casually on ice because my friends thought it'd be funny. I caught him on Tinder and he said him and his friend made a profile as a joke. Imagine. And then you just carry on the joke every night while your spouse is asleep. That it's normal for his ex to come over and stay with him for 2 weeks as a mate's situationship. I mean, yeah. that the Coles coleslaw he bought to a barbecue was a homemade family recipe. Oh, that he was at home in bed when I could see his Snapchat location at the pub. Yeah. He said, that's not my baby. Fuck. That I got chlamydia from the toilet seat and not from him cheating on me with multiple gals. Mm. That he couldn't respond for 3 days because he had COVID in Canada, but he was actually cheating. That he didn't cheat on me. Sorry, that if he, oh my God, this one's so fucked. He said that if he didn't cheat on me, he would have had to jump off a bridge instead. Are people not aware that breaking up is an actual option? Obviously not. So this guy's like, I'm imprisoned in this relationship for life, so I have to cheat. The lies people would tell themselves. His Tinder was linked to his Facebook, and that's why there was an account with a photo I took. That photo wasn't even on Facebook. I don't know. Do you link your, I guess you do link dating apps to, anyway. One time I witnessed him kiss another girl, and then for a week he told me that I saw it wrong. The gaslighting. Texting a girl inappropriately and said it was for his friend who was using his phone because his phone had died and he wanted to text this girl. That's very far-fetched. He lied about an STD test, a positive STD test, to see if I'd confess to cheating that never happened. So here's this clown coming in being like, I tested positive for this. I got it from you just to get a confession out of you. You'd be like, bro, you got that somewhere else. He broke up with me because his dad had cancer. He actually didn't. And he had a new girlfriend in a week. I'm actually going to do one on the most crazy reasons that someone has dumped you as well, because I'm sure we'd get so many. Having FaceTime sex with another girl was actually just a joke. That cocaine just fell into his jean pockets. Deleting a message that I just read and pretending like it didn't happen. Do these people actually think this works? And did it work? Like, did you just be like, oh, okay, I guess. Like, you know, because sometimes you're in relationships that are so cooked and they go so far that you end up weirdly kind of just going along with this, like, cooked behavior. He was going to uni still by showing up during my uni breaks, but he had dropped out. Like, just be honest. That he had memory loss from COVID and doesn't remember treating me badly. Okay, I'm going to do a little offshoot of this. When I was 18, I was dating this guy, crazy cunt, okay? Like, he was a nut job. And the night before we broke up, he ended up publicly abusing me at, like, shout out to Chinese Laundry in Sydney, if anyone's ever been there, like, literally screaming, causing a scene. The next day, and then I disappeared. I had like 60 something missed calls from him after that, after he literally abused me. And then I had all these missed calls, and then I saw him the next day to like dump his ass basically. And he was like, oh, well, I actually don't remember what happened last night because I mixed some medication with alcohol. So you're going to have to tell me. I'm like, sit down, cunt. I've got time. Sit the fuck down and I'll take you through a play by play. This bullshit of like, oh, I don't remember. Not an excuse. It's still in you. If you're going to abuse, you're an abuser. End of story. Anyway, that having an eating disorder made me an unworthy person. Fuck. My Instagram bio is broken. I can't, oh my God. My Instagram bio is broken and I can't get my ex-girlfriend's name out of the bio. You are the side piece. That's hectic. And like, he's not even trying to hide it public. That's hectic. A hickey on his neck was a football injury. People need to come up with better excuses for hickeys on their neck, honestly. That he jumped in bed half naked with another woman to cover for his cheating friend. You're a great friend. I caught my ex holding hands with the woman and confronted them. He texted me after saying it wasn't him. Well, how would he know? If it wasn't him, why would he be texting you saying it wasn't him? He wouldn't even know that this thing went down. Like, don't incriminate yourself further. If you're going to act like you've got a doppelganger out there, like, follow through properly. He cheated because he had multiple personality disorder. That his ex-girlfriend was his cousin, that he was hanging out with her and he was actually sleeping with her. That's so fucked up. That he didn't have a girlfriend and that they weren't his initials in her bio. The AL stood for almond lattes. These are fucking brilliant. Instagram randomly auto-blocked me from their IG stories because of an IT glitch. This is brilliant. That he had no money because his boss wasn't paying him. Spoiler alert, he was cheating and doing drugs. That he didn't see me, although we were in the same pub standing 1 meter away from each other. That he had had a vasectomy after I told him I was pregnant. He actually had never had one. He told me his pregnant wife had actually passed away 5 years earlier. Fuck. The nudes on... Wow. The nudes on his phone were his cousin and she was just borrowing his phone to take them. Firstly, I can't think of any parallel universe where I would borrow my cousin's phone and then fill up the camera roll with photos of my vagina. Like, that's fucked. He paid for a prostitute, but all they did was talk all night at the bar. I've heard of that one so many times. That he was single. I believed it until his pregnant fiance rang me 4 months down the track. Good on her and you. He went to a gay club and had sex with two men as a research project for uni. Like, just be single. Just be single and have a good time. That he accidentally got my best... What? That he accidentally got my best friend to suck his dick. I'm so confused. That I was crazy and imagining my abdominal pain. This actually turned out to be ovarian cancer. I hope you dumped him. I caught him at a brothel. This is another one. I caught him at a brothel, but he said he was just hanging out the front because he didn't go in. Wow. Okay. That he downloaded Bumble because he thought it was a music app. Okay, cool. But then firstly, you don't even read the description when you're downloading the app. Secondly, you've downloaded it and you've opened it. You're like, this is a dating app. And then what? Do you then input all your, like, yeah, where do you go from there? That he bought an engagement ring, but he actually never proposed. He said, I only slept with her because she looks like you. How kind. That was the last one. That was all of them. Oh, and then there was another one, which was that he got an STD from a toilet seat. How many people are spinning that fucking web of lies? So yeah, I hope that made you feel, I don't know. I don't want to say that you feel good for other people's misfortunes, but I feel like sometimes when you've been exposed to someone who's so awful and crazy, sometimes to hear these stories, it's like, yeah, wow, okay. I wasn't an idiot falling for this person's shit. A lot of people get caught up in this all the time. Because I think that's probably the main takeaway is that when someone treats you like absolute shit and when you walk away being like, wow, how did I fall for that? You're not the problem. Okay. You are not the problem. You trusting somebody and you wanting to see the best in someone is actually a personality asset of yours. The fact that they are cooked, like they will get what's coming to them or maybe not, but the fact that's on them, that's their problem, not your problem. So hopefully you don't ever feel, you know, like shit because you fell for their lies. They're like really good at doing that. Anyway, let's get straight into some questions because we're almost halfway into the episode. Okay. The title is 24 Forever Single, Thriving But Upset With Men. Love these titles. Hi, Alexis. I'm 24 and I've been single my whole life. I honestly thrive being single, but I'm intensely curious about what it would be like to live within a partnership. So I'm definitely open to having a boyfriend if the right guy comes along. My issue is I rarely get genuinely excited about a guy. And when I do, I really do. But every guy I've ever liked has turned out to have another girl in the picture. From the very first guy I slept with and fell in love with, Limerence, to guys I tried to get to know and it turns out they're sleeping with someone else. It always hurts me when I find out they have someone, even if it's casual, with that person. I feel like a second choice, or like they think I'll be their backup. No, one guy actually said this once to me years ago. But that's the opposite of what I want. I want someone exclusive and I want to feel special, but every man makes me feel worthless by talking to multiple girls. When I find out they are, I usually distance myself because I won't let myself be the second option. Am I doing something wrong, or am I just really unlucky with the guys I talk to? And how can I make it hurt less when I don't feel chosen? Love you and the pod so much. And I tell everyone I meet to listen. Thanks. Thank you for sharing the pod. Okay. Look, I've got a few opinions on this. I want you to look at when you are in the early stages of dating. I like to liken it to, in a very crude way, to when you're shopping for something like that requires consideration. Let's say a car, for example. In the very early stages of dating, there is nothing wrong. In fact, it's very normal and healthy for someone to be seeing multiple people, not dating exclusively, quote unquote, and then cheating. I'm talking about going on dates, because this is they're casting their net. They're meeting people. When you're dating, you can't expect to stumble across somebody who's got no one in the picture. It happens. It happens often, but that shouldn't be the expectation, because when you are dating, you are single. You have the freedom to meet this person, go out with this person, casually be seeing somebody, and then you meet somebody else. You're looking at your options. I think that's perfectly fine and healthy. That's what dating is about, okay? What I think maybe you might have also come across with is where you've met someone who's also quite serious with someone else and they're not really sure about it, but they're leading this other person on and then they've got you on the side. That's obviously unacceptable. So I think the first thing is, I don't think there's anything wrong with, in the very early stages, for there to be multiple people on the scene. And the same goes for you. It's like if I went on a date with somebody once and then someone else invited me on a date a few days later, I wouldn't say no just because I've been on one fucking date with somebody, unless I had zero interest in going on the second date. Like there's nothing wrong with that. Secondly, you said at the end, how can I make it hurt less when I don't feel chosen? I wouldn't look at it that way, because I don't think it's about this person was chosen over me. I'm in competition with these other people. Try to remove this idea of dating being like it's this or that or one person. I look at it as you're either a match or you're not, irrespective if there are other people in the picture. So regardless of if there's another girl or not, it doesn't matter. Like I will never, ever, 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 ever compete for a partner, right? So if I was dating someone and there was someone else on the scene or whatever, that wouldn't factor into how I'm just not competing for somebody. We either are a match or we're not, okay? And dating exists to determine if you are a match. So this idea of like, oh, someone's going to choose you over. If someone's choosing someone else over you, it's because you were never really an option. They were just trying to learn more about you. Okay? You were never really an option. And even if you are the plan B, you're still not really an option. That is someone using you to pacify time. So all you need to do is get really good at identifying what is a good match for you. Okay? Because if you meet someone who's a great match, who cares if they were seeing a few people at the beginning while they were single? That wouldn't faze me at all, because I would probably be in a similar boat. So put that aside. You need to determine, what does a good match look like to me? Someone with open communication, someone who's emotionally available, someone who's not playing games, is like taking forever to reply on purpose because they're trying to like string me along. Someone who's, you know, if I've spoken about what it is that I'm interested in, how are they responding to what I'm interested in? Someone who shows genuine interest in me. You might think that someone is a good match for you, but if they're not interested in you, they're not a good match for you, because they don't want to be there. For me, one of the biggest turn-ons or biggest points of interest for me in a relationship is them also reciprocating those feelings and being interested in me and putting in effort, okay? So you've got to look at all these things and say, this is what I deem to be a good match. And don't, anything that equals them not showing interest or respect or factoring your feelings in, that's not a good match. I don't care what you say to yourself, it's not. So you can't include those people in there because you're kidding yourself. And then once you determine what a good match is, then it's really easy to be like, okay, the reason this person has gone with somebody else over me is because we actually weren't a good match. They weren't interested in me. They were stringing me along. They weren't aligning with what I deem to be a really healthy relationship. Okay. So I think you need to remove the pressure that you've put on yourself when it comes to dating. Number one, I don't think there's anything wrong with there being a few people on the scene in the early days. Number two, when you feel comfortable enough to do so, just communicate what it is that you want and what you're looking for and just ask for honesty. One of the best things you can do is just say, listen, I'm very good at handling the truth. What I'm not okay with is someone stringing me along. If you give me the truth, I will always handle it in a respectful and adult way. So if someone says to me, listen, I know you want a relationship. I just can't give that to you now. That's my cue to be like, thank you for your honesty. I'm just going to walk away. I'm not going to get offended. I'm not going to try and prove something to them. I'm not going to do anything. Less is more. I just walk away. If someone says, look, I'm actually seeing someone else and I'm trying to see where this goes, but if this falls through, then I'd like to explore things with you. Then it's up to me if I want to be the second piece or not, but I'd just not be interested and I'd walk away. So all you do is you politely ask for honesty. Just say, I can deal with honesty. Very well. So just be straight up, but this is what I want. What do you want? And then you can cut out the people that are, you know, having you as the second option. Because yes, you had someone have you as the second option. He said that to you. Do you know how many people just do that on a daily basis all the fucking time? A situationship is you being the second option. That's what it is. When anyone is in a situationship, you are the person who's there for now to pacify them until they find the next best thing. Otherwise, you'd be in a relationship, okay? So many, 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 many times people are the second option and they just don't want to admit it to themselves. So the fact that this person said that to you is actually quite interesting, like quite amazing that someone would even like be aware enough to voice that. So I think less pressure on yourself. Just be open, honest, and don't look at it as this person's choosing me or not choosing me. You need to start making those choices earlier on. You need to start looking for these warning signs or these like indicators, and you make the choice because you're both here to make a decision. It's not just them. Once you put the power back in your hands, you're going to feel more empowered and you're going to have more fun dating. You're not going to look at every single dating situation as something that weighs in so heavily. Be more lighthearted, be more fun, be more carefree. And that's when you're most likely to attract your correct match. Okay. Next one, daddy issues. Okay. I'm going to read this and then I'm going to talk about the phrase daddy issues and what my problem is with that. Hi, Alexis. Fucking love the pod so much. You're a queen. I'm wanting to get your opinion on my current situation with my dad. Just for context, my dad and I have always had an interesting relationship. When he was in a good mood, everything was grouse. But when he was in a shit mood, you were better off to stay out of his way. He has always been quite hot and cold in terms of his moods, and my siblings and I always copped the brunt of it. He has the capacity to be so loving and giving, but at the same time, kick you out of the house if you disagreed with him. This has happened on multiple occasions to my siblings and I. Anyway, to cut a long story short, roughly 12 months ago, my dad and I had a disagreement via text message where he was pretty much shutting down all my feelings and trying to teach me a lesson. When at the time I was 20 and had lived out of home for 2 years in another state, so I really didn't need his parenting. At this point, I was fucking sick of being spoken to like shit and being shut down, so I stood up to him, to which of course he didn't like, and he went on to say, I only use him for money, blah, blah, blah. Fast forward 3 weeks and it was my 21st birthday and we still hadn't spoken much. I had no calls or messages from him on my birthday, which absolutely shattered me, especially on my 21st. We had a few family events on that following weekend, so it was inevitable that we would run into each other. When I saw him, I went to give him a hug and he gave me the most pissy ass fucking side tap I've ever experienced. We didn't talk after that. I approached him at the end of the night asking if we could have a conversation later, and he totally blanked me. The next day was my party for my 21st and he decided not to show up. That's really, really disappointing. Since this day, we still have only had a couple of conversations which have not been healthy. I reached out at the end of last year to see if he would like to have a mature conversation about our current situation, which he replied, I don't want to have a chat. I am happy with the way things are. He sends me the odd drunk text saying he misses me, but I choose not to reply for my own mental health. He also did not wish me a happy birthday this year. This has been a massive issue in my life for the last year, and I'm struggling to digest and comprehend it all. I'm hoping to get some advice on how to handle this situation, as I will be seeing him at least twice this year for some family events, and we will run into each other. My family keeps saying I need to be the bigger person and all that bullshit, but I just want to be the child for once in my life. Any advice is much appreciated. Love you so much. Okay. Before I address that, I'm going to, and you didn't make it out to be like this in this story, but I just have a pet peeve when people accuse girls of having daddy issues when in reality, and shaming girls for having the daddy issues, as if the girl is responsible for the fact that they had an absent father. Like a cop out to a woman is to say she's got daddy issues. It's like yet again, a man has failed her and she's somehow responsible. Like fuck that. Anyway, that aside, to address your issues with your father, I'm going to say that firstly, that is so unfair, so immature, and there's a chance, hopefully, but maybe not, that he will look back in the future and be like, wow, I cooked this. I really fucked up. I really wasn't there for my daughter. I just feel like, look, if someone is saying to you they're happy with the way things are, that is what it is, I find it interesting that your family is telling you that you need to be the quote unquote bigger person. What the fuck does the bigger person look like? You've reached out. You've reached out on multiple times. You on your birthday went to hug him. If that's not the big, what the fuck do they think the bigger person is? Do they want you to go and like cook him meals and grovel? Like what? No, that's what I'd reply. I say, what to you does the bigger person look like? Because I'm lost to think what that could be, given that I'm the one that's reached out. I'm the one that's on multiple occasions. I said, do you want to have a talk? And he's rejected me every single time. So that's one thing. So I'm sorry, but fuck that. I would ignore that altogether, or I would just hit them hard with like, please enlighten me what you believe bigger person means. Secondly, I think it's important that you really, really, really manage your expectations with his behavior. Obviously, this has been going on for a lifetime. This is just ingrained in him, and there's nothing you can do to change someone's behavior. You can lead them to water, but you can't make them drink. So if this is just the way he is, it's really, really unfortunate, but that is just going to be him. So knowing what he's like, you have to manage your expectations around how the future is going to look like. If he wants to turn around, like you've made it very clear that if he wanted to turn around and have a sober conversation with you, you clearly would be open to it. But you reaching out to him and wanting this, he's obviously not ready for that level of honesty and vulnerability for whatever reason. And you've done what you can do. If you want to do a last ditch effort, you can put everything you feel down in a letter and send it to him for your own, just to clear your own conscience, to be like, I said it, but if you write a letter, you're doing it for you, not for him. You're doing it because it eases how you feel and you get something off your chest and you feel like I've put everything out on the table. The ball is now in his court. That is the one thing that you could do if it makes you feel better. But if you feel like you're going to regress by writing that letter, it's going to make you more annoyed, that's fine. With these two events, he's already set it up beautifully. He's the one that's going to be uncomfortable. You've reached out. You've done everything you can do to be, quote unquote, the bigger person, which I don't even think people have to be the bigger person. Your job is to preserve your own mental health, not to appease someone who's being a brat or having a tantrum, okay? So whether you want to be the bigger person or not, you have been in the past. With these two new events, I think that you need to just go in and not have to, you know, you can walk past and say hi and not expect a reply. Just say hi, wave and keep walking. I wouldn't try and make physical contact with him. I wouldn't try and hug him, kiss him. Fuck that. Especially because he shut you down that time. Smile, hello, walk away. Manage your expectations and have them fucking low. It's going to be awkward for him, not you. Okay. Because you've been civil, lovely. You've reached out. You've been the one that's been the bigger person, and you are the child. So from now on, he can decide to be a parent or not, but you don't have to be the parent anymore. I would just be like, the ball's in your fucking court, mate. You're the one missing out. Hopefully that helped. That's all we've got time for in today's episode. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for writing in. and keep the like the epic titles coming in. Love you guys so much. And I will speak to you next time. As always, remember, be kind to yourself, be kind to your brain. Don't take shit from anyone, and especially don't take shit from yourself. Danke.
Listener.